1931.
Okay, and that there were youth from all over the country who had come for a specific event?
There were delegates. There were delegates from the International Youth League, which was International Youth League. I don't remember whether there were black people there or not. You know, in those days, all organizations were, although I had a maximum of black people representing later on in connection with the relief work, at any rate, it was international. They're all Americans, but from different nationalities, different parents. And it was a this conference that was called International Youth Day was held in Youngstown, Ohio. Why in Youngstown, Ohio? That's a steel city. A lot of steel workers there. A lot of steel workers were unemployed. They were on relief. There was trouble. There were problems. And with all the trouble, there are arrests and all these things. However, they really meant to have a good time. So the ILD rented an upstairs, where there was a stove where they could cook and heat food and prepare things, and places where they could have the food. And then they were, lodged, sleeping. Different people who knew about the ILD gave their places where they could sleep. They unloaded, they came there. Gosh, I just don't remember, because the scroll that they later signed was longer than this table. I would say it must have been about 10 feet long. It was narrow. There's just one name. Oh, that's right. There's a name and the address underneath, the name of the person and the address, where they came from what city and what county. So they got organized, and they got all the food ready, and they had the stove ready. I don't know what they used, coal or gas or what they used, but they got themselves ready that after the march, they were going to have a parade, a march in the forenoon. They would come back and have a place to eat. At any rate, they went out in formation where the march would start. It was somewhere on the square, on the public square, and this place where they had their kitchen and the food and stuff was close by there. And there was a formation they were forming. There were several hundred. I know there were several hundred people there. It looked like an awfully long parade to me. When the ILD... Now, why do I have a picture of that parade? Yes, I do. The ILD said to me, if you are prepared to leave your office and your family and go to Youngstown, and I had quite a number of clients, the unemployment insurance, and there's the... what other organization where would industrial commission cases, it's called, industrial commission cases where people got hurt. There were a lot of injuries there. And the injuries usually, at that time it was with industrial compensation, industrial commission, somehow, unfortunately, some very good people, in order to keep their position, they had to be against the workers or they didn't hold the position. So when a steel worker strained his back by lifting too much or by working before an open fire and having an injury to the head, and having to, they always said it was congenital. Everything was congenital, and it was a battle royal to get something for these people. So it was in Youngstown. At any rate, they said, these kids are here to have a good time. If you see the food that the people got for them there, you know they're going to have a good time and they have husky appetites. And they're going to parade to the public square. and there will be speakers, why it's necessary to have an international youth league, and why if they don't know what's going on when they're young, they won't know when they get older, and they won't know who's right, their parents, or this and that, and stuff like that. You might enjoy watching it. I said, only if you give me guarantees that there won't be any arrests, because I don't feel like going leaving home and going to work, you know, at any rate. Well, the point is, we're somewhere, that's right. I think I was in the car with the Schiffer. He says, well, I'm going. He says, you won't be long. At any rate, I was there with Schiffer, and we were watching them line up in formation. And everything was, it's a day like this, only clear as sun, a beautiful sunny day. And they had in the front a bunch of kids who knew how to play some kind of a noisy instruments, drums and stuff like that to start the parade. It's real impressive. It's very nice. And they didn't look shabby or raggy or baggy. They looked nice. Mm-hmm. And there weren't any bearded children at that time. Well, it seemed to me that they barely all got a chance to start moving their legs to walk, when as though they came from nowhere. And you could hardly see where the sticks were coming from. Cops were wielding sticks and banging, smashing up their instruments, the musical instruments, and just banging left and right without apparently paying any attention where it landed. And then, of course, came along what they call the Black Livery, the paddy wagon, to start hauling them off under arrest. And those who managed to get away went up to the place where the food was, many of them, and they came near it, and they couldn't come near it, because what they did, we have to assume to this day that was the cops that did it, because there were no fascists in view anywhere. Some stench bombs, they threw stench bombs into the place, and they ruined all the food that was there. It was just, I can't, as I tell it to you, I don't know why it was so heartbreaking to me, because apparently I had a soft spot for youngsters who were 16, 17, 18 years old, were interested in life and fun and music and everything, and still wanted to know what the score was in life, you know. We went up to the Youngstown office of the IOD. They had offices there, you know. And the first thing I did is go over to the jail to see how many were there, who were there. And I was received like you would expect anybody to be received as going to bat for people that are supposed to be endangering one's country, you know. They couldn't think of anything else. I want to see my clients. Well, they cannot be seen. I said, well, let me talk to the deputy sheriff. Well, he's out to lunch. Well, when will he be back? Well, all I got was I don't knows, you know, and so forth. I had a terrible time until I finally broke through the minimum of courtesy that's extended a lawyer to see a client. Well, when I finally got to see the chief sheriff, well, how did I know who you are? How do I know you're their lawyer? Well, he says, I am the lawyer for the International Labor Defense that handles political cases. And if this turns out to be a non-political case, I'll step out unless the boys, the individuals, want me for that. And how do we know that, sir? I said, here's the director of the International Affair. I introduced Schiffer, and he said, yes, Mrs. Lynn handles all our cases, all our cases that we as an ILD organization think that we should give them legal defense. All right. Okay, I got to see my people. I had little talks with them. And we went to trial the next morning on preliminary hearings to see if they've got to be bound over to the grand jury on preliminary.
How many of them had been arrested, do you recall?
Well, there must have been at least 50. At least 50 of them. There could have been more. There were a lot because there's more than one cell that I had to go to talk with them through the cell, through the door. I didn't go into a visiting room with them. Went on preliminary the next morning, whether they should be bound over or not. Usually I avoided it. This time I had had a card up my sleeve, you know, about the preliminary. And I was going to put one or two on or something. The prosecutor was, I forget, now he wasn't a very big person. He looked rather unimpressive. I know he was a dark skinned, he could have been Italian origin, I'm not sure, I forget his name, but naturally he was American, the prosecutor. And as I put one of my witnesses on the stand, I got a witness there who later turned out to be, they lived in Akron, but Akron was near Youngstown, I forget how many miles, and she came in when she heard about the youth. She was quite a young person herself. About the International Youth Day, there were so many people on the street, viewers, that it's hard for me to distinguish who was in the parade and who was on the along the sidewalks. I put one of my witnesses on the stand, who said that he had a double purpose of coming to Youngstown. He was going to be in this parade, and he wanted to go to Akron to visit the Furries, F-U-R-R-Y, Furry. She was Thelma Furry. And a few more things, and her father was a rubber worker, I believe. And we developed all those things, their connection with them. My next witness I called Thelma Furry. I put her on the stand, and Thelma Furry came up there with a fur coat on and looked like she wasn't a commie, you know. At any rate, when I was halfway through examining her, I said to her, well, this is going to be my last question. And just then, I heard a thud right close by, and I turned around, and there was the prosecutor on the floor, sprawled out on his back, you know. He fainted, he passed out. Well, I didn't put my last question, naturally, but I yelled to the bailiff to clear the room. I says, clear the room or get away, he needs air. And I got down on my knees and started to rip open his collar and his shirt, you know, and I asked him for if anybody had any smelling salts and get a doctor. And so I was ordering I the county. I was ordering them around, and I forget how it wound up, whether he regained consciousness without a doctor or with a doctor. All I remember is the way he was sprawled out, you know. And later, after he got well enough to go to trial, not only he, but all the court attachés, the bailiff and the sheriff and the one who kept saying, how do I know you're this or how do I know that, they were literally on their bended knees to me. And one of the bailiffs was standing there in court and talking to another. He said, oh, that woman is nobody's damn fool, you know. I said, oh? At any rate, and the judge told me what an excellent job it was. He says, well, from what these people tell me, you're a good lawyer, but I think maybe you'd make a good doctor, too. So that was my experience with the, and then we went to trial. Oh, yes.
What was the actual charge against them?
Parading without a permit. Parading without a permit, and then it always winds up in a skirmish. Whoever strikes the first blow, they don't want to know that, you know. That's out. So, but when you fight back, it's like when Israel retaliates, well, the UN censors them. Maybe I shouldn't have said it. At any rate, it's a long way between the two. At any rate, I came in one morning for a trial, and the prosecutor said, "This, Your Honor, in conference with my associates, we have decided to dismiss the charges against all of the defendants, provided they will each go back to their respective homes within reasonable time." He had a saved face, you know. So the next move was, I said my goodbyes to these kids, but by golly, they found their way to Cleveland, quite a delegation with a big fat scroll. I think, I don't know, it was very thick, but it was about this wide on white paper. And the scroll was from an awful lot of people, more than the defendants, mm-hmm. just defendants, and said to our heroic lawyer, this and that, and the only thing I thought myself when I was giving first aid to the prosecutor, they'll say, whose side are you on? But I never had that policy. I never did that. I didn't mix my case with the things that's humane, you know. Anyhow, that is the story about the International Youth Day.
How do you think it would have gone had this whole thing with the prosecutor not come up? How do you think the case would have gone?
They would have, would have found them guilty on the parading without a permit, disorderly conduct, and if by that time the judge handling the case in Youngstown knew what was happening in Cleveland, that I was getting juries, they may have fallen into the trap to have to give me a jury, and I had would have a right to demand separate trials. So whichever way they look at it, it didn't look very good to them. But they would have gone to trial, all right. Mm. And the first thing I suppose is once they plead guilty to something, which I never. When the same bailiff that I asked for a jury, and he always used to tell me, why don't you plead them guilty to some small offense? I said, what about the record? They'll grow up. They have a future ahead of them. What about the record? All record. They don't know, especially ones of the black people. What do they know? They don't know the differences. Well, I'm not about the one to help build a record of this kind. So if I can build a good record for them, I just won't build. At any rate, that is the story on that. And now in the Casey case, I don't know whether I talked to you at all about it. I'll just, if you want a few more minutes, what do you want to do now?
Okay, now, well, let